Smash Factor.
Ripping driver, going for it. Oh my goodness.
How about that tee shot?
That is crazy how far that is.
Wow. John Daly, take a back seat, big fella. How about that drive?
That's an aggressive line.
Look at this, he's just driven the green. He has just driven the green.
I guess, hello world, huh?
Welcome to another week on the PGA Tour, the Waste Management Open Week. Always a fun week leading up to the Super Bowl as well. Last week was, it was okay. Showdown was really good again. We had some first round leaders sweat. Then Rose came in late and dropped the 62 to take the first round lead and never gave it up. Kind of ran away with it. I won't say it made it boring on the weekend by any means. Obviously, some of the stuff he did was incredible. But still, you know, especially the showdown gives you something to, you know, kind of cheer on or root differently if your main week isn't going well or don't have any outrights per se, or it didn't look like there's going to be much outrights available. Probably mid-round Saturday, it kind of looked like he was going to run away with it. And for sure, Sunday looked like it was going to be take something crazy for him to back up to the field, or even if someone went really low, which is, you know, somewhat hard on the South course, he would have to stumble pretty bad and really didn't see that happening because he wasn't just gaining, you know, with the hot putter or anything. He was really striking the ball well. The surprising scene on showdown, you know, I talked about it last week that what's the edge? Is the edge still going to be as strong as normal? It was actually stronger than what I would have thought. I mean, less than 10% of lineups had six guys from the north both days, and it played 3.5, 3.6 strokes easier than the south. That's just, yeah, you could have maybe potlucked your way into finding the one or two guys that shot really low on each day, but just in general, you're going to take six from the north course or any course when you have multiple setup playing that many strokes different on any given round. And so just a huge edge there. Had made plenty of money showdown throughout the week. Main slate got killed. I did a three max this week and a bullet. Each one of my lineups had a negative in it. I had Pendrith, who missed the cut on the number, Oberg, who never showed up. I wanted to just not play him. I should have stuck with it. He killed a really good lineup. He's actually in my best lineup that bubbled going into Sunday, had a chance. It was a 4-6, and it was bubbling on Sunday. It was a pretty strong lineup overall. I think it had Knapp, Siwoo, like all four of the guys were, you know, inside the top 20. Just the other two were not good at all. And then Brennan, who had the DQ that he kind of called on himself, which kind of sucked because that was a, you know, a 5-6 lineup with him. So a little bit of bad luck there. Luckily, showdown got us through it. And now we're back to a fun week. We've had some success here. Betting. Several years ago, I hit 3 out of 4. And then that recently, you know, we had Scotty back-to-back. Not really going to bet him too often. And then last 2 years, you know, kind of a longer shot with Taylor and Dietrich. Didn't have those, but we have had success here. You know, over the years. And so looking forward to it. Like the feel, like the setup. We'll talk about the Scotty situation as well. If you'd like to join right now, use New Year, any package, 30% off, includes a 7-day risk-free trial. Got all your model builders, lineup generator, full access to the NFL tools if you want to use them this week. One subscription covers everything for us. So college football, PGA, and NFL are our main focuses. The Green Machine Lineup Builder has every slate for every sport if you're wanting to utilize it for other sports. But our content is focused on those three main sports. If you want content only, it's cheaper. Obviously, if you want full access to all the PGA, NFL tools, you know, a little bit more, but you can look that up on the site. I think if you go annual, you can get as cheap as like $15 a month or $7 a month for content only. Monthly, I think it's like $20 and $10, somewhere in that ballpark with the 30% off. So come check us out now. You get a week free, good week to try it out. You get to play some showdown. Plus Waste Management is always a good tournament. I'll have the showdown articles out every single day. And then we'll have showdown NFL, obviously fully covered as well for the Super Bowl, which I think is going to have some pretty good edges in it. I started research on it yesterday, and I kind of like early setup, how it's looking. You know, never know how things will shake out for sure, but there's many different ways to play it, whereas some years it's gotten, you know, when you have certain, you know, the Chiefs have been in a lot of high price versus lower, you know, builds kind of come together. This year, I think you can go many different directions and it looked like a pretty solid build. You just kind of, what story are you going to tell yourself? The public, maybe even some, you know, sharps per se, a lot of people are on the Seahawks big time. And I think there is some edge there. I'm not saying the Patriots aren't, or the Seahawks are the play or aren't the play. You know, we'll kind of get that later in the week, but I do think in the showdown this week, there's some good leverage that I'm looking forward to attacking as well. TPC Scottsdale, very familiar with the course, par 71, 70, almost 7,300. Par fives are some of the easiest on tour. Bermuda greens, but it's overseeded. And so I kind of look at it more like a bent setup. This is a time of the year where we can start bumping recent form a little bit. We got a little bit more tournaments, you know, recently. And each week you can kind of bump that a little bit more because we're getting, you know, more in from this year, you know, the recent weeks. A little bit of the fall if you want to look at that, as opposed to, you know, some of these guys, you know, when they first come back, they hadn't played since July or August or whatever. Now you get a couple tournaments in, you can kind of see what kind of form they're in. It's not the end all be all, but it's definitely something you start looking more and more towards each week as we get closer, you know, kind of that March to the Masters type situation. Weather looks warm. You know, sometimes we've had some cooler mornings here. Doesn't look like we'll have that. I don't see any delays or anything like that. Could have some wind on Thursday. That's early, the way it looks right now. This is a Tuesday morning early, so I'll put this out later on today, Tuesday, which is going to be my normal schedule, to try to have this out, you know, Tuesday by lunch, Tuesday evening at the worst, so you have all day Wednesday to listen to it. Maybe even late afternoon, depending on how work schedule looks. But we'll keep an eye on the wind. The wind looks consistent, though, Thursday. It doesn't look like a wave advantage right now. But because of that potential, you always want to keep an eye on it, not only for first-round leader and round-one showdown, but, you know, you could have some advantage when it comes to the AM, PM, PM, AM stacks. Right now, I don't see anything, but certainly, you know, we're still 48 hours from lock, so I'm not putting a whole lot into it yet. That'll come more tomorrow when we do, you know, final thoughts, deep dive, things like that. Cut, you're probably looking around -1, -2. Winner, somewhere in that 18 to 20 range. Last year, Dietrich just ran away with it, 7 strokes at 24. So second place was 17 under last year. 2 years ago, 21 under in a playoff. And then before that, it was 19, 16, 19, 17, 17, 18, 17. So it's always kind of been in that ballpark. Like I mentioned, Dietrich and Taylor the last 2 years. Scotty's won twice. Brooks won twice. Webb, Fowler, Woodland, Matthews won twice. So you see a lot of several repeats right there. And that's just in the last 10 years. Some runner up, Matthew again. Bubba's done been successful here. Webb, again, Finau, Cantley, Hoffman. Nick Taylor was a runner up 2023 before winning it in 2024. So maybe a little bump to the course history. Seems to be guys that play this place well. And that could be the course plus handling the whole party atmosphere and craziness, a combination of those, depending on how you want to look at it. But a slight bump to course history for me this week. Nothing crazy, but definitely you see some strong correlatives there. Stats for me this week, good drives, stroke gain irons, par 5 DK scoring, birdie or better, good approach, and then stroke gain off the tee mixed with putting, recent form, and course fit. New to the course, 35. I think there's 124 in the field, maybe. 100, I believe that's 120, 124 in the field this week. So, I mean, was that 85, 90 have played it? A good majority have at least played it once since 2020. Salary ranges, 2 in the 10K. I could almost create a different bracket with the way they have shuffled this week, which I like. We'll get to that in just a minute. But he's at 14.5 and Xander's at 10.5. So, 4,000. Gap there without a 5K range is probably the biggest gap we've seen in PGA DFS as of yet. 9 in the 9K, 10 in the 8K, 35 in the 7K, 67 in the 6K. And looking at last week when we had 144, I believe, in the field, the 8, 9, and 10K had almost the exact same amount of people as it does this week. And so they really have just cut down on the numbers in the 6 and 7K. They're so far, they're keeping around that 20 to 22 guys, 8K and above, and then kind of mixing and matching the 7 and 6K depending on how big the field size is. Obviously, a little bit different this week with the whole Scotty pricing and how they're handling that, but definitely talk about that DK-wise, DraftKings-wise, and a little bit betting. But Sweet 16 for me, per usual, three guys I like, a Bubble Boy in the four salary ranges, Fade of the Week, Sleeper of the Week, some gut feel plays, betting top five of the pop and two long shots, and then I'll give my preliminary one and done that I like, top five right now, put the final ones out tomorrow with the final thoughts on the site. 9K and above for me. I will talk about the Scheffler thing to kind of get it out of the way there. I definitely think contest has a significance this week, meaning if you're playing the big $20 or what, maybe it's $25 this week, I haven't looked completely, and there's, let's just say, 50,000 entries in it. I can see where, depending on how many lineups you're playing also to the max, so if it's 150 and you're playing 20, you know, I don't know that I'd want to play Scheffler. I think in contests like that, Scheffler comes more into play because the odds of the other five being around him, that combination or close to it, being in 50,000 lineups is much greater than, say, you're playing the $200 single entry or 153 max. It could be cheaper too. I'm just ones that I'm familiar with, but you know, it could be a $50 single entry, $20 three max. I'm really talking more about the total number of entries than anything. The dollar amount is kind of irrelevant, but you know, if there's 300 lineups in your total contest, much harder to hit the nuts per se of Scheffler. And then the average salary is around, I think it's 7,100 after you put him in your deal. So you got to have guys in the 6K, 7K, maybe you go down a little 6K and you can sneak a lower 8K guy in, as opposed to a little more balanced with whoever you like this week, whether it be, you know, there's tons of people up there, Cam Young, Burns, McNeely, Fitzpatrick, Spawn, Matsu, Hovland, I mean, all those guys, and then you go to the AKs, mixing and matching those and still dropping down and picking your guys. I think that'll, because when you put Scheffler in there, you can't, you're just eliminated from so many of those guys. And so does it mean that you load up on Scheffler and you can't happen to hit the nuts on a bunch of 6 and 7K guys? No, I mean, it's still possible for sure. I do think them pricing it at least makes you have to make a pretty good decision on him. And it's not like, well, I can play him and still get away with middle of the salary range plays that look good on paper, per se. It'll be interesting to see where his ownership comes in, because I think right off the bat, you would think super popular, probably coming off, you know, he just ran away with it at the Amex. He's played well here. He's got back-to-back wins, a third, a seventh, a 25th. He's only missed a cut once, and that was during COVID year, 6 years ago. So tremendous history here. Obviously, he's the best player in the world right now. He's coming off a win. But there's a scenario where there's not enough optimal players in the range that you need them, that he wins and you still don't need him. Yes, if he runs away with it, there's a possibility that you do, but the putting the math to paper and, you know, pen and paper and all that is much more difficult this week than normal. It makes you think, at least, whereas in the past it was kind of like you almost kind of, you know, when he was 12-3 in this field, you know, he almost everybody was going to play him. That's a big difference from 14-5. Now he's 4,000 higher than the next, you know, best golfer in their mind, you know, salary range, with Xander being 10-5. I mean, just think about that in any other sport, whether it be NFL or NBA or, you know, MLB, UFC, whatever, where the top player, whether, you know, quarterback, running back, whoever, even like when McCaffrey was on a roll and he was 10,000 at times, the next best running back wasn't 6. I mean, there were still guys in the 8s and 9. I mean, it's a pretty dramatic. But his odds reflect that in the betting market. And so at least they're lining up with that a little bit. It'll be interesting to kind of see how things shake out this week. I don't think they'll have that big of a gap when we get to signature events and majors by any means, because I don't think he'll be that big, widespread of a favorite. The question will be is, do they bring in the 5K range, which makes that salary that he has more more digestible for you to take on, because you can find a 1-5K guy you may love that kind of balances that out. They didn't bring that in this week. That's what makes it more interesting to me is, you know, what do those lineups look like with Scheffler? Sure, you could, I mean, ironically enough, like my top three 6K guys that we'll get to in a minute, all of them are 6,800. And even my bubble boy 6,800, not on purpose. It was just those four guys I like. Could I put those four with Scheffler and I think get an 8K guy? Sure. And, you know, can it happen? Sure. Less likely than some of these others, but it certainly can happen. The bigger deal to me is, where's his ownership come in at? Whether you want to play him or how you want to play him and all that is, if he's still going to come in highest owned 25-30% it's an easy fade for me. I'll take my chances and build otherwise. Now, if everybody's kind of starts building and they go, man, this is harder than I thought, and he's coming in like 12-18%, you know, maybe we start thinking about, you know, is that now something you want to take a look at? We'll kind of see where that is tomorrow as ownership starts to shake out and we get into the final thoughts and all that kind of stuff. But it's an interesting point this week. We haven't been presented this type of structure yet. He's been up there this high. I don't know if he's been 14.5, but he's always had the 5K range as well in most of those instances. So it's easier to balance out. I don't think we've had him in this small, you know, it's not a true full field. It is a full field, but not the 144. You know, and he's 4,000 higher and there's no 5K range. So I'm interested to see how it shakes out. 9K and above for me. I like Kim Young. I'll go back to him. Finished 22nd last week. Nothing about last week shakes me off of him. He's got a 12th and an 8th the last 2 years here. He's made the cut the other 2 years, so he's never missed a cut here. To me, he's the second best player in the field this week behind Scheffler. Pretty simple for me to play him. I'm not going to overthink that one. Siwoo just showing consistency after consistency. Had him in, you know, two of my three builds. Only did three lineups last week. Came in second. He's probably, I would say, recent form, he's probably the hottest. You know, Scotty's got the win, but that's the only time he's played since, you know, the fall. Siwoo's now, you know, he played the first three, 11th, 6th, 2nd. Could there be some fatigue? Maybe, but, you know, he's made the cut here 5 out of 6 years. With the 12th, 21st, 23rd, 26th, he's playing tremendous. I'll be interested to kind of see how he's putted here versus, because that's been kind of his weakness. But even then, I mean, still hitting the ball extremely well to be right there, you know, top 10 and above. Now, he's priced up more this week, so he does need to be, you know, flirting with that top five. But I definitely don't mind him at all this week in a place where he's shown some success, not, you know, tremendous, but he's got upside. Coming in great form. McNeely, man, I had a showdown lineup on Sunday that I cashed two of my four, basically a break even on those, but I had a bullet in the 5-5-5, and it started out, I think they were like 16 or 17 under in the first eight holes combined, the six guys. Mav was one of them. He had four in a row. I think Goddard had three in a row. And then it was like from hole eight on, like four of the six guys didn't birdie the par 5 ninth, and they just went ice cold. I think combined my six guys shot like one under from the ninth hole all the way to the end of the turn, the last 10 holes. It was crazy, but he still played well overall in the week, a 10th place, 24th at Sony. He's played here twice. He's finished 6th and 9th. So I suspect him to get some ownership at 9,100, but you know, I think it's going to be pretty spread out outside of what people do with Scotty. And so I'm not worried about the ownership up there. It's just more about who you like versus who you don't. And I like him a lot this week. I'll have plenty of Mav. Bubble boy for me is Matsu. I do think he potentially could be one of the higher owns, coming in good form, an 11th last week, 13th at Sony. He's got a 16th and 8th. He's made cut 6 straight years here since 2020. Obviously, he has the back-to-back wins in 16 and 17. A 22nd, an 8th, a 16th, a 25th, a 29th. So he's kind of been there, you know, anytime he's played here. So the ceiling is, you know, he can win it. 9,600. He's coming in good form. I don't think he'll have many worries, which I think will bring on some – the ownership will be there. Really interested to see, A, where the industry is on the whole Scheffler talk and where that drives that, that 9K range. And then I think Xander, I was low on him last week. He was my fade of the week. I said that on the podcast. He missed the cut. He showed some life the same, but he really just seems something's off there. And I'll be off of him again this week, even though he's had good success here. I'm interested to see who's willing to pay 10-5 for him, or if they're just going to wait to see when he comes back and looks like a guy that can be top five type deal. He may come back and make the cut this week and kind of look better. I don't know that I'm ready to pay up 10-5 for him though. So anyways, my 9K guys, I like Young 9,800, Siwoo 9,900, Mav 9,100, and then Bubble Boy is Matsu at 9,600. 8K range, I'm going to go back to Pearson Cootie. I do think he'll probably be popular, so we'll see how that shakes out. I'll be, I think, unique enough and different in spots that I won't be too worried about it, but another guy playing extremely well, a 13th and 18th, a second. He hasn't played here. That'd probably be my only concern if I had one. Stat-wise, he looks great. Fifth off the tee, third good approach, 12th birdie or better, fourth in good drives. No issues there. No problem going back to him this week. Jake Knapp, another guy. He was the guy I landed on for one and done. 88 last week. He had a good Sunday. Finished strong. I think he birdied the last three, 16, 17, 18, to finish fifth. So pretty good showing. 11th at the Sony. He's made the cut here the first 2 years he's played it. A 28th and a 44th. First in good approach. Fourth off the tee. Sixth in birdie or better. Fourth in par five DK scoring. Can putt well. We know that. I love the pricing. 8,800 feels like a good price. He'll probably get some ownership, but again, I don't mind going there. The problem will be all these guys I mentioned like this is if you go Scheffler, it's hard to get one of these guys in. And so if Scheffler is at 25-30%, you know, that's a lot of these guys not getting in those lineups. And so that's kind of where I'm interested to see how that kind of shakes out when you actually, I think there's going to be a potential of two, you know, perception and reality is where people think they're going to be for the week. And then when you actually start building and seeing how things shake out, are you comfortable with whether it's a Scheffler build or not? That's what I think people may change your opinion there. And I think Scheffler may come a little lower than what most think, but we'll see how it shakes out. Last guy in the AK range before the Bubble Boys, English, 8,600. Made the cut 2 of 4 years. Both time he's made the cut, he's been inside the top 20 with a 17 and a 16th. 27th at Amex, 22nd at Farmers, so showing some good form. 23rd off the tee, 26th in good drive, 16th in good approach, 23rd in putting. Solid across the board. I don't see him getting a ton of ownership. You know, it could be a pivot off of some of this other chalky guys around him. You know, a Brooks, a Fowler, some of those guys may get a little more love than him. So I kind of like him as maybe a potential lower owned in this range. Bubble Boy for me has got her up. I do think he's underpriced this week, and I expect him to be one of the higher owned in the AK range. I hope he's not, but the only negative would be he's played here twice and missed a cut twice. But he's playing so much better than at that point in time. Second at the Hero, first at Sony, 18th last week. Course should set up great for him. 16th off the tee, second in good drives, 24th in good approach, 26th in putting. I like him a lot. I just want to see how much ownership he gets and is that the spot I want to decide to take, you know, a fade on or not. That's the only reason for the Bubble Boy for him is ownership. So Cootie, 8,000, Knapp, 8,800, English, 8,600 with Goddard up, 8,300 as the Bubble Boy. 7K range, Kitayama, 7,600. He's made the cut all three times he's played here, a 23rd, an 8th, and a 49th. Just an average start to the year this year, a 40th at Sony, miscut at Amex. Stat-wise, he looks tremendous. Third good drives, 16th irons, 13th par 5 DK scoring, 12th off the tee, 19th in birdie or better. Just solid across the board. For the price, I really like him a lot this week. Højgaard, or Nikolai, I should say, they're both in the field, 7,600. He's played here last year, got a 36th. That's 22nd last week. We know he can, you know, he's good off the tee, 8th in par 5 DK scoring, 13th in good approach, top 3rd in putting. I like him in general. I like both of them, but I like him just a hair more at 7,600. McCarty, I'm going to keep going back to him. He doesn't get the ownership I think he should. I'm interested to see if he finally starts picking some up this week. But, you know, a 55th at Sony, that's whatever. But a 2nd at Amex, an 18th last week. you know, stat-wise, he looks solid across the board, 11th in good approach, 25th off the tee, 13th in good drives, 30th in irons, which, you know, is the blend of approach and around the green. Played here last year, missed a cut. I guess, you know, that would be maybe a one negative, but that's a small sample size, so I'm not putting that much into him. If he's going to continue to kind of get ignored or not really, I don't even think he hit 8-9% last week, I'll take McCarty, 7,700. Bubble boy for me is Thompson, Davis Thompson, 7,200. Missed the cut 3 years ago, but then he's made it the last 2 years, a 15th and a 36th. 43rd last week. Profile-wise, I think he fits here well. He's just a high-ceiling, low-floor type of player, you know, a boom-bust per se. 10th off the tee, 12th in good approach, 19th in drives. Putting, you know, can get him in trouble on any given week. A much more riskier play, for sure, you know, in the mix in that 20 max type stuff. He's on the bubble for a 3 max type build for me. 7K range, Kitayama, 7,600. Højgaard, Nikolai, that is, 7,600. McCarty, 7,700. With Thompson, the bubble boy, at 7,200. 6K range, I'll go back to Brennan. I hope he knows what to do and not to do in the yardage book now. Learn from that, move on. Still rates out well. We know it can drive it tremendous off the tee, which is key here. Second in par 5 DK scoring. Mid-pack and approach, that'd probably be the only weakness, looking at the profile. 28th and birdie or better. I'm not going to worry about the DK too much last week, or the DQ, sorry, disqualification. I'll go back to him at 6,800. Mesner, 6,800. He's made the cut all three tournaments so far, but not done much with him on the weekend. 40th, 49th, 63rd. Missed the cut here last year. That's the only time he's played. But at the price, 6,800, there's definitely upside there that I like. 10th in good approach, 17th in irons, 27th good drive, 34th off the tee. Enough there at 6,800. I definitely don't mind taking some changes there. Alex Smalley, 6,800 again. Like I mentioned, just coincidence. I don't even know how many 6,800s there are in the field. But when I was typing up the notes, I was like surprised that they all fit right there in that same, exact same dollar amount. 21st here last year. Missed a cut last week, made the two cuts before that, a 44th and a 40th. 38th off the tee, 40th in good drives, 15th par 5 DK scoring. I just feel like his ceiling's strong enough that at 6,800, he's definitely worth a strong look for me. Don't mind going there at all. Probably more of a 20 max type play, but could work his way up there, you know, to a 3 max potential build. Bubble boy for me, SH Kim. I play a lot of him. I talked about him last week. Don't mind him at all. 28th here 2 years ago. It's the only time he's played. A 13th at Sony, 18th at Amex. He made the cut last week. Didn't do much with it. 63rd, 15th in putting, 17th in course fit. Again, at that price, another guy I don't mind, you know, taking chances on. No real reason for the bubble boy. He looks just as good as the others. You know, his around the green play sometimes can get him in trouble. That may be a little bit of an issue, but being that he got a 20th here 2 years ago, I like that he's seen the place and done decent around it. So I don't mind him at 6,800. So all of them are 6,800. It's Brennan, Mesner, and Smalley, and then SH Kim's the bubble boy. Fade of the week. My fade of the week is going to be Xander. Again, 10-5. I'm not paying up for that yet. And then Scheffler is just kind of an asterisk. I think it really is going to depend on the contest you're playing, the amount of lineups you have versus the max allowed, and then where we think that the ownership really kind of shakes out by the time we get, you know, to Wednesday night. We'll get a little bit earlier locked than we've gotten the last few weeks, not being in California and Hawaii. You know, if he's 25% or more going to be the highest own or top two own, it's most likely a fade for me across the board, and I'll just take my chances. If he's, you know, everybody starts building or thinking that way, and they go, it's just, you know, I'm going to take my chances of fading him, and you can get some leverage, you know, especially if it's when you're doing 150 lineups, something like that, and you're going to play 40% of them and get 2X, 3X the field, that's a lot different than, you know, I play 35, 40% of them and I'm barely over the field and not really getting as many, you know, different build lineups with him that I would like. So definitely in the content on the side, I'll have more about that and where I'm at on him once we kind of, you know, the rest of today and all day tomorrow, listen to pods industry, kind of see where people are at on that. But Xander is definitely one I don't have any. I know he's got tremendous history here. He hadn't played here since 2023, but solid the 4 years before that. But I'll pass on him until I see it. Sleeper of the week, I think it's Yellow Majaro. I don't know. 6,200. 31st off the tee, 7th in good drives, 1st in par 5 DK scoring, 13th at the Sony Open. He missed the cut at Amex, made the cut last week, didn't do a whole lot with it, but at 6,200, he's definitely a guy that has enough kind of green lights for me that I don't mind taking some shares there. Now, he's certainly, he's probably going to be 1% owned type play and much more of an MME, or GPP, however you want to call it, play, especially, doing 20, 50, 100 lineups, something like that. But he did catch my eye. If you are playing Scotty, he may be a low-owned guy that you could pair with him and kind of ease up some of that salary. So I don't mind him at 6,200. Some gut feel plays for me. Griffin, don't mind going back to him. A 24th and a 19th at the Amex and Sony. He took last week off. He's made the cut both times here, 28th and 36th. So some good showings here. Homa kind of killed me last week. He was one of the guys I really liked. I was actually between him and Knapp and one and done, and I went Knapp, thank God. But Homa missed a cut. A good bounce back spot for him, I think, this week. So I don't mind. 7,500, I think, is a good bounce back week for him if you want to go there. Patrick Rogers continues to play pretty solid this year. Third, 44th, and then 27th last week. He's got two top 20s here. He does have a couple of missed cuts as well, so, a little mixed results. But 7,300, don't mind that. Higo, 7,400, don't mind that. He's made the cut 2 out of 3 years he's played here, including a 21st finish. Fitzpatrick, he was close to being up there in the Sweet 16, 9,300. A 10th, a 29th, a 15th before missing the cut for the first time last year. But I definitely don't mind him and where his game's trending. Keith Mitchell looked solid last week. Strong finish on Sunday. He's made the cut 5 out of 6 years here with a 16th, a 10th, a 17th, a 25th, and a 42nd. 11th last week. We know he's strong off the tee. If he can putt and put it all together, this certainly is a course I could see him doing well at. Ricky Fowler playing well, kind of, I don't know if it's quietly, but he's not, I don't hear about him as much as you would in his quote-unquote prime. 18th at Amex, 26th off the tee, 33rd good drives, 35th in putting, 27th in course fit, 15th in recent form. Really missed results here. In my head, I would just think he played great here, but the last 6 years, a 37th, miscut, 10th, miscut, withdrawal. So not the best the last 6 years, but I think where he's playing right now, I think this course, and I don't think he would buy into this atmosphere. That didn't bother him at all. The price, kind of that Best Buy pricing at 8,900. See how much ownership he gets, but I don't mind going there. Rasmus Højgaard, the other Højgaard, I don't mind going there. 7,700. 12th here last year, a little bit better than his brother. A 30th and 44 so far this year. Hao Tong Lee, a guy I liked last week, played him a decent amount in showdown. 11th, 8th, and 55th to start the year. He hasn't played here. That's probably the negative for me. But playing strong, 9th off the tee, 30th in good drives. And then Brooks. We'll see where Brooks comes ownership-wise. I'm interested to see if everybody jumps on him because of the tee to green game last week. Looks solid. Obviously, the putting is well-documented. I would assume he puts a lot better here. A place he's very comfortable with. He's got two wins. I like the pricing somewhat to last week. Being up there, I think if he's 7,800 or something like that, he probably gets quite a bit more ownership than where he's at now. So if I can get somewhat low owned, I don't mind taking some stabs at him for sure at 8,700. He's not a guy that's like going to be paired up with, along with many of those guys, with Scotty, because it's just hard to build. If you start in the mid to high eights with Scotty, you don't have that much salary left. But I saw enough last week that I definitely don't mind going there. We'll see where the ownership. I don't want to play a chalky Brooks, but if he's just 10-15%, I don't mind taking a look at that. Top five to pop and two long shots for me. I like Cam Young 25-1, Cootie 65-1, Siwoo 30, Knapp 40, and then Mav 35-1. Shop around. I just went by an average for now. Some of those could trend up, down. I'll lock in my final betting card per usual tomorrow and post that up on the site. Two long shots I like, Thompson 100-1 and Haotong Lee 100-1 as well. Probably more like top 20 bets on those, but there are two guys that, caught my eye for 100-1 or I guess worse, higher. One and done. Right now I like Cootie, Knapp, Mav, Cam Young, and Fitz. You could use, I don't think I'd use Scotty yet. I guess you could use him whenever you want. I mean, he can win any week. Young, that's probably where I would like to go, but I really think he's going to do well in at least one of these signature or majors, and the price difference in one and done there is, or the money you win off of those is so much better that now getting it right, which one he's going to do, and it's still a chore in of itself. But if you like him, you could go there. But any of those guys I like right now, and I'll have the final ones out tomorrow. You could certainly go. Matsu is right there on the list. Hovland could be a unique one that I don't think many will talk about. He hadn't played over here yet. Played over in DP World Tour last week. But I'm going to be probably in that area right there. You know, Cootie has my eye. Fitz is one I really like. And then Mav as well with Knapp and Cam Young. So I have the final five out tomorrow on my final thoughts. If you'd like to join, check all that content out. Check out the Super Bowl content. Again, New Year gets you 30% off any package. Be a fun week this week. I like the waste management. All obviously rolling into the Super Bowl is always fun on Sunday to have to golf on while you're prepping for your Super Bowl parties and all that kind of stuff. Should be a great week. I look forward to it, and we'll talk to you guys soon. Have fun.